It seems easy to follow Jesus at first, doesn't it? It's easy in the beginning when we first come to Christ because we're kind of exuberant. We've got a joy. We're fresh. We're new. We're a new creation in Christ. We can't wait to tell people about Jesus, right? We have an excitement about us. We really want to learn. We want to study. We want to stay close to Jesus, don't we? It's that newness, that freshness, that new beginning that really just draws us to Him. But after a while, that joy kind of tapers off, doesn't it? And you kind of start heading down the path and following Christ, and it's not the same as it was in the beginning. It don't seem as easy to stay close to Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark preached out of the book of Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52 in his sermon titled, Losing Jesus. We hope that his message will help you to refocus on Jesus, and we hope you will join us again next week for another great sermon. And now, Brother Mark.
I'm going to be looking in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 45. Entitled this message, Losing Jesus. I want to be clear on that, because once we have Jesus, you never lose Him. Amen. He's always there, but sometimes we think we've lost Him. We look around and we really don't know what happened, and we thought we was following Jesus, but He must have made a right turn or a left turn and we didn't catch it. We were just kind of out there. And so last week, you remember, we had a message on following Jesus, right? And that was the first step, is coming to Jesus. He says, follow me. And the second step was follow me. After you follow me, you have to follow Him. You have to take up your cross daily and follow Christ. And whatever path He places before you is the path that He wants you to be on. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Mark 6, beginning in verse 45, it says, immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He sent the multitude away. And when He had sent them away, He departed to the mountains to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and He was alone on the land. Where was Jesus? He was on the land. He wasn't out in the sea, was He? Then He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw Him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they saw Him and were troubled. But immediately He talked to them, and He said, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Then He went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled. What did they do? They marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Let us pray. Father God, speak to us through Your Word. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Move in our midst. Draw us to You. Search our hearts and know us. Bring us to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat. Forgive us of our sins. We want to hear You, Lord, and we want to see You. Open the eyes of our heart. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. May the words I speak be your words. May they quicken my heart. Make me alive in you this morning. All these things we pray. And the people said, you may be seated. Have you ever lost Jesus? He was walking along and he was going down the path and you was following Jesus and all of a sudden you thought, where's Jesus? I thought he was right here with me and I just don't sense his presence here any longer. What happened? Jesus has never lost you, but have you ever lost Jesus? It seems easy to follow Jesus at first, doesn't it? It's easy in the beginning when we first come to Christ because we're kind of exuberant. We've got a joy. We're fresh. We're new. We're a new creation in Christ. We can't wait to tell people about Jesus, right? We have an excitement about us. We really want to learn. We want to study. We want to stay close to Jesus, don't we? It's that newness, that freshness, that new beginning that really just draws us to him. But after a while, that joy kind of tapers off, doesn't it? And you kind of start heading down the path and following Christ, and it's not the same as it was in the beginning. It don't seem as easy to stay close to Jesus. I used to hunt a lot, and I had bird dogs, and whenever I had a pup that was about a year old, I'd take that pup hunting, and that pup would stay close. It would stay right at my feet, and in fact, it would stay too close at times. I'd be tripping over the dog, and the dog is always wanting to be around me and stay close to me, and it was that freshness. That pup was like, what are we doing? And it was learning, if the pup got too far away, all I had to do was hide from the pup, and pretty soon it would come yipping up and down the fence row looking for me, because it was scared that it had lost me. And I think that's how we are when we're first a new believer. We want to stay around Jesus' feet. We want to stay close to him. We want to be there all the time. And if we lose Jesus, we're running up and down the fence row looking for him. Where's he at? Where's he at? I know he's around here somewhere. I want to get close to my Savior again. But as that dog grew older, it quit following me so close. In fact, if we found a covey of quail and I flushed that covey and happened to get one, I'd have to start hollering at the dog to come back because the dog was off looking for another covey. He knew what we was doing. He had done this long enough. He didn't have to stay close to me. He knew the routine, and off he went. And I'd have to holler at the dog and say, you have to come back here because we got work to do right here. Before you run off and find another covey, we've got some singles out here that we got to find. And so you'd have to really get on to the dog and holler at the dog and make the dog hunt close because the dog didn't want to hunt close anymore. And I think that's how we are as Christians. As we start heading down the path, as we start getting more and more accustomed to knowing the Word of God and knowing what God wants us to do in life, we can get further and further away from Jesus and still do his work because we know what he wants us to do. And the path is set before us. But we must remember to always keep Jesus in our sights. To always keep our focus on him. When we start out, we follow Jesus well, we stay close, we learn, we grow, but as we get more experienced at following Jesus, we tend to get further and further out, and we don't need to be as close in order to follow him as before. But in between the beginning and the end is the time we're talking about here. Have you ever went somewhere with a large group of people and you had to drive to get there? And it took several vehicles because there were so many of you. And so one person jumped up and said, "I'll drive and I'll lead the way." And they happened to be a lead foot. And so you was doing all you could to follow them. And don't y'all be nudging each other. At, you know, we all have issues. And sometimes I get to be a little lead foot myself. But the person that was leading, they got out there and they thought that you could keep up and they thought that you could follow them. Then you enter the freeway and things get a little busy on the freeway. And before you know it, you've lost sight of them. They're nowhere to be found. The people in the car are saying, "Where'd they go?" And you're like, "I don't know. You know, I seen them when they went on the exit ramp, but I haven't seen them since. I don't know where they went." And so today is a good thing we have cell phones because we can call them up and say, "Hey, pull over so I can find you. I need to catch up again." But so it is in our Christian walk that we get out there a little further and a little further, and then all of a sudden life gets busy. Amen? It don't take much. You know, you get into life, and pretty soon life can get pretty busy. A lot of things can be going on at once. And if you got children, it's even busier. Amen? A lot of things happening. In the beginning, our walk seemed easy to follow Jesus, and at the end, it seems easy to follow Jesus. But in between the beginning and the end, where life is busy, we struggle from time to time, if we would be honest, right? We struggle from time to time staying up with Jesus. Well, the same was true of the disciples of Christ. Here in this passage, we first learned that Jesus made his followers get into the boat and go without him across the big pond to Bethsaida. Now, the disciples wasn't too anxious to get in the boat and go across the big pond because guess what? It's going to be the middle of the night when they was out there in the big pond. And you know what they thought of the big pond? The sea? They considered the sea the abyss. And you know what the abyss is? The abyss is hell. And they didn't like the abyss. They didn't like the sea, even though they had to make their living off the sea, a lot of them. They still considered the sea a dangerous place where you could lose your life. And they had seen storms out on. In fact, if you look over in chapter 4 of Mark, they had just come through a storm in the middle of the night with Jesus, and Jesus was with them. You remember that story? He was up there with them, and they said, "What are you trying to do? Or kill us? Or we're going to perish out here. Aren't you worried?" And Jesus stands up and says, "No, I'm not worried. Peace, be still." And the wind quit, and it was calm. And they went on their way through the night. So here they are. Jesus says, "Hey, guys, you all get in the boat, head over to Bethsaida. I'm going to go up here in the mountains and pray, and I'll meet you over there." And they're like, "Uh-uh. Last time you told us to do that, we remember what happened, and it's going to be the middle of the night. We're going to be out in the middle of the abyss in the middle of the night again, and you're not going to be with us? Uh-uh." But the Bible says in the King James Version that Jesus constrained them. He made them get into the boat and go over to the other side. Now, I wonder if Philip nudged Andrew and says, "Murphy's Law. Guess what?" What do you think? You think we're going to have a storm out here? Jesus laid out his will for them, and his will was for them to get in the boat and go, and he would catch up to them later. It would be like if Jesus told you, "Get in your car and go to East St. Louis, and I'll meet you there at 5 p.m. on Friday evening." You'd be saying, "Uh-uh, not at any other time, not 5 p.m., East St. Louis, uh-uh, we're not going there." Verse 46, Jesus stayed behind and he dispersed the multitude. If we read about what was going on, if you went through this whole scenario, Jesus had just fed the multitudes. You remember that story? Well, just before that story, Jesus had just learned that JB, his cousin, had just been decapitated because the Herodians' princess wanted his head on a platter. And so he'd learned of this, and so Jesus was grieving the loss of John the Baptist, and he wanted to get alone to pray, but he couldn't because the multitudes were there wanting to be healed and fed and ministered to. And Jesus gave them his time. He ministered to them. He loved on them. He fed them. And now he says to the disciples, "You get in the boat and go to the other side, and I'll meet you over there at Bethsaida. And I'm going to disperse the multitudes, and I'm going to head up into the mountains to pray." After all, we look in 47 at where the boat is now. The word says that the boat was out in the middle and it was dark. Evening had come, the boat was in the middle, and guess what? There was a storm. Ever been there? You're following Jesus along, following the path. He says, "Go and do this." And so you follow Jesus, you go and do that, and all of a sudden it turns dark, and there's a storm. And you're wondering, where is he? Where's Jesus now? I need him right now because there's a storm and it's dark, and I'm out here in the middle. And literally all hell was broke loose. They was floating on the abyss, on hell, and they was out in the middle. And they was worried because Jesus was not with them. You see, the enemy don't attack us when we stay near the bank, near the shoreline. The enemy don't attack us in the light. The enemy don't attack us in our comfort zone. The enemy don't attack those who just come to church and sit on the pew every Sunday and go away for a week and then come back and sit on the pew every Sunday. The enemy don't attack them people. The enemy waits until you're out away from the shore. The enemy waits till it's nighttime and darkness is upon you. The enemy waits until you've stretched your faith as far as you can stretch it, and then the enemy attacks. The enemy sends a storm. Not only was the boat in the middle of the sea, and not only was it dark out, but the disciples viewed the sea as the abyss, hell itself, and the storm was approaching, and the wind and the wave and the lightning and the thunder, and it was scary out there. You ever been there? You ever been out on the lake whenever a storm hit? I have. We was out on the lake one day with my brother, and we had put out some of them jug lines. And we was on the south side, and there was a huge bank on the south side, so we didn't know there was a storm coming because we couldn't see to the south. And all of a sudden, the started getting dark out, and the wind picked up a little bit, and I told my brother, I said, "We better pick up our floats and head in." And so we started picking them up. We got about half of them picked up when it hit. I said, "Just leave the rest. We're heading for the ramp." And I put the boat on full throttle, and we was going over the huge white-capping waves, and the boat would go into the swale, and water would come over the end. And I said, "We're not going to make it this way." And so we decided to find a safe place along the shore to bank it. And so I pulled the boat up, and as I went to pull the boat up, it hit ground about 30 feet before I got to the shore, and I had to bail off the front of it and grab the end of it and pull it up by hand. And whenever I jumped off into the abyss and started pulling the boat up to the shore, I realized my $600 cell phone was in my front pocket. And Satan begins to attack. And I pull the boat up on the shore, and we go up near a cliff along the bank in the trees, and we're sitting there in the trees, and I've never heard my brother pray out loud so much in my life. He was praying, God save us, and the lightning was coming down and hitting the water and the trees, and the wind was blowing, and the waves was coming in, and the rain was coming down. You couldn't see 20 foot in front of you. And he was scared to death, and he's saying, Jesus, please save us now. Jesus, we need you. Oh, help us, Lord. We're going to die out here. And I go, I interrupted his prayer. I go, we're going to die? What from? And he goes, hyperthermia. And I go, it's August. We're not going to die from hyperthermia. He goes, I'm freezing to death out here. Well, it had got a little cooler with the rain, but hyperthermia was not an issue. And he kept praying, Lord, we're going to die. Please help us. We're going to die. And I'm thinking all the time, we're not going to die, you know. We're going to be okay. It might be a little scary for a while, but it'll be all right. And then I looked up, and through the rain, I could barely make out the shadow of a boat. And I go, look, Chris. My brother's name is Chris. I go, look, Chris, a boat. And he goes, awesome, a boat. And he starts waving his arms, a boat, a boat. Come help us, come help us. I go, Chris, that's our boat. It had come loose from the shore and was floating across Truman Lake in the storm. He goes, we are going to die now. We don't even have a way to get out of here. We're going to die. And I go, we're not going to die. He goes, well, how are you going to get the boat? And I go, I'll just swim over there and get it. You'll drown. You can't make it over there. And I go, I'll just back float over there and get the boat. And all. And on top of everything else, my dog was in the boat. And my wife had warned me, if you come home without the dog, don't come home. So we had all these fears going on, and there was our boat, and I said, well, you know, we'll just wait till the storm's over, and then I'll swim over and get the boat, and then we'll go on home, and everything will be fine, minus the cell phone. And it's still raining pretty good, and I look up, and here comes another boat, and I go, look, Chris, a boat. And there's a boat going down the middle in the rain, and there's like four men in this boat, and they're standing up so that they can see. And they're moving slowly through the rain, down through there. And my brother runs down to the bank, waving his arms. Help us, we're going to die. Help us, we're going to die. And I'm going, we're not, whatever, you know. And he's down there. So finally they hear him, and they come over to the shore. And they take me over to get my boat. And I get my boat. And by that time, the storm has left. It's calm. I put him in the boat. We pick up the rest of the jugs, and we head in. And he goes and he tells everyone how a near-death experience he had on Truman Lake. Every time there's a storm, I call him up and ask him if he wants to go fishing. On top of all the calamity, if you look back at Mark 4:35, the disciples had just been through that storm. And do you think they would have wondered if another storm was going to come upon them? They were fishermen, and they had this respect for the sea, and they knew the perils of being out on the open water during the storm. What do you think Philip said to Andrew when that storm hit? He probably nudged him and said, I told you so. There's always one, amen? So here they were in the middle of the sea in the dark, and the storm is upon them, and they cannot see Jesus, but Jesus sees them. Jesus always has his eye on you, no matter if you can see Jesus or not. He's always watching you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You might be a million miles away from Jesus this morning, and you might not have seen him for quite some time, but know this, Jesus has never taken his eye off of his child. Verse 48, Jesus sees the disciples and he sees what they're doing. Where's he watching from? He's watching from the shore. Jesus was on the bank, remember? We repeated that in that scripture. There he was. He was on the bank and he could see what they was doing. Yeah. Jesus don't have to be right next to you to see what you're doing. He's watching you all the time. He knows exactly where you're at. He sees the storm. He sees everything that's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's there. He hasn't left you. He's always there for you. And what were the disciples doing? The Bible says they were straining. You ever do that? You ever start working with human power and begin to row the boat? We're going to row against the storm. We're going to get there no matter what. We're just going to keep rowing. Amen? Some throw in the towel. Some say there's no use, but others say, I'm determined we're going to go. And that's what the disciples are doing. They were rowing against the wind. They were rowing and rowing and rowing, trying to get to the other side. It was dark. They was in the middle of the abyss. The wind and wave was against them, but they were straining, the Bible says. Have you ever strained? Trying to get there. Trying to forge ahead. They were straining. I was trying to lead the Sunday school class, and in the middle of class, the enemy reared his ugly head. And do you know what such and such said to me? Where was Jesus when I needed him? I'll never go back to that class again. I was trying to follow Jesus. I was stepping up in the church. I was doing this and that. And do you know what such and such did? Or do you know what so and so said? Where was Jesus then? I'll never go back to that church. But Jesus is calling each and every one of us to launch out into the deep. Just step out of your comfort zone for a while and follow the path that Jesus constrains you to follow. This is our spiritual midlife crisis, amen? The beginning's easy. The end's kind of easy, but how about in between? That's the path, the journey, where the stories are made. You may not see him, but he sees you, and he will come to you just when you need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer, just when I need him most. In 48 and 49, the Bible says that Jesus came to them walking on the water, and he would have passed by, but they cried out to him. Get this. They're in the boat, they're straining at the oars, rowing as hard as they can against the wind. And Jesus comes walking, and the Bible says would have passed them by. The wind had no effect on Jesus, amen? He just walked like there wasn't any wind. They was all rowing, and he was walking, passing them. he would have passed right on by them. And Jesus will pass right on by you unless you call out to him. He is waiting for you to call on him. He sees where you're at. He sees you straining. He sees you trying to work ahead to try to do what he called you to do. And he's just waiting for you to ask for his assistance. He wants to help you in your struggle. He says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will ease your burden. My load is light. You don't have to strain. I'll make it easy for you. Just ask me. Here comes Jesus walking on the water, and he steps into the boat, and he calms the sea, and all is well, and the enemy retreats. The storm calms. The wind ceases. The abyss is no longer scary, not any longer. Which brings up another point. You won't see Jesus walking on the water near the bank. Think about that for a minute. You want to see the huge miracles of God? You have to get away from the bank. You have to launch out. You have to go out into the deep. That's where the big miracles take place. Yeah, you might see little miracles over along the bank. You might see a little bit of evidence of Jesus working. But you want to see Jesus really at work? Go out in the middle. Go out into the dark. Go out where the storms are. And that's where you'll see Jesus doing the great miracles of life. Remember, even though you can't see him, he still sees you. He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, remember? Even though you're straining to forge ahead as you follow Jesus, don't give up or give in because he's coming for your rescue. He's coming to help you. He will not leave you as orphans. You are a child of the King of Kings, and Jesus is coming to give you peace in the middle of the storm. In conclusion, and as Phyllis comes and Victoria comes, 51 says, and I love what the word of God says here, It says, the storm went away. Jesus calms the sea. And then it says the disciples marveled. What does it mean to marvel? You ever marveled? That's to talk about what Jesus has done with other people. To mill it over, to discuss the issues. Can you imagine what they were saying to each other at that time? Did you see him? He was walking on the water. He calmed the wind, and the storm went away. It listened to his voice. He came walking to us and seen us and knew where we were in the middle of this giant ocean in the dark. He knows all. He sees all. He's all powerful. Even the wind and waves obey him. And he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to give a testimony. He wants you and I to tell the story of how we've never seen that happen before. He wants you and I to tell the story of how you can't just make things like that up. He wants you and I to tell the story of how he's real in our lives and how he's saved us and how he continues to work in our lives every day and how he delivers us from storm after storm. And as we go through the storms of life, how he never leaves us and never forsakes us, but he's always there for us. He wants you and I to tell the story. I was sinking deep in sin. I was far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea. He heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. How about you? How about when the doctor said, we've never seen that before? How about when the storm was raging and you could see the wind and the waves and you could see the lightning coming down and crashing on the water and you could sense danger all around you, but Jesus came and delivered you? How about that? How about your testimony? When the story ended, did you have a story to tell? And did you tell the story? Brother and sister in Christ, God has a plan for you, and he wants to use you to accomplish his work. Will you let him lead you? And will you follow him even if it constrains you to get in the boat and go out into the middle? In the dark? Knowing fully well there could be a storm coming? Will you leave the comfort zone of the shoreline and go out into the abyss, knowing fully well the enemy may attack you while you're out there? Do you believe that Jesus can come to you in the middle of the storm? Will you walk by faith even when you cannot see? Because this broken road prepares your will for me. How about you? Would you stand and pray with me? Father God, this morning, as we follow your path, and as the enemy attacks and as the storms come, Lord, I pray that we would just seek your face, that we wouldn't strain under our own power, but Lord, do we just rely on you? That we'd let you be our all in all, that we'd let you deliver us. And Lord, then that we'd tell the story. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a testimony. And then Lord, as you give us a testimony, Lord, I pray we'd be vocal. That we wouldn't stand on the sidelines, but Lord, we would stand on the promises and be vocal about what you did in our lives. Thank you for your love for us, Lord. I pray that you'd have your will in your way during this invitation time. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.